trust, and I'm thankful for the privilege being here with you this evening. This is my first time to be here at beautiful downtown Dawes, Texas. But I'll say this, it's a beautiful place. And when I look around here, I can tell that this is one of the handiworks of God that testify of His greatness and His goodness. And the order of service tonight I'm particularly pleased with, because Brother Luke is to follow me, and I know so many times the Lord in times past has so richly blessed him, and being a mighty man of valor in the service of God, that I know and I feel the confidence that if I stumble, that there's one behind that's able to pick up the banner and carry on. So, beg an interest in your prayers, and hope that if anything is said here tonight that is feeds the sheep and redounds to the honor and the glory of the great name of our Lord, then let it be of Him. As I walked up on the ground, talking to Brother Walker for just a minute, it just amazes me sometimes how God's providential workings, the things that the world calls coincidence, sometimes coincidence are not such coincidence, but God's providential workings among His people, and His busy work among His people, is continually keeping us who strive to walk in truth in awe of His majesty and His omnipresent greatness. And as I was talking to Brother Walker, I told him he was talking about remembering subjects, and he does a lot of writing, and I appreciate that. We need more old Baptists to do a lot more writing. But I've read a lot of your writing, Brother Walker, and I encourage you to continue. But I told him, I'm one of these that's got one of those little study halls right across the way, a little brick crossing across a little ditch, and I get my motor home, and I sit down and study, lock the door with no telephones. And you know, I told him one time I had a subject on my mind. It was one of the best ones I ever thought of. I walked out the back door, and by the time I got to the bridge, I forgot what it was. I didn't remember what it was. One of the low points in my ministry was because I failed to remember a principle. You know, here not too long ago, I wrote a couple of old Baptist preachers a letter concerning Isaiah 54, and I'd forgotten all of the primary lessons that was taught in that, and made a complete fool out of myself. It's embarrassing when those things happen, when we fail to remember. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about remembrance. Do you know that we have absolutely no control over whether or not we remember? Now, you can say, oh, yes, we do. I can practice this telephone number until I've got it committed to memory, and I can recall it whenever I want to. Well, you won't recall it unless something prompts you to recall it. A lot of times, if there's not some circumstance that happens where you have a need to call that number, you won't remember. And you know, this little expression that I came up with, you know, because the Lord remembers, the elect will never be forgotten. And because the Lord never forgets, the wicked will never be remembered. That the Lord don't have any memory problems. He doesn't have any problem remembering exactly what needs to be done at what time and what the order is, and his covenant, how he placed that into position, and how he remembers that covenant forevermore. Last week, I took a text, Luke chapter 24, verse 8. And I'd like to talk to you, I might deviate a little bit from what I've introduced to you there, But try to bear with me. I want to try Luke chapter 24, verse 8. And they remembered his word. I'm going to tell you today, that's something that the religious world and this great country of ours, our political leaders, and some of our teachers, and some of our mamas and daddies, and I'm going to tell you, some of our preachers don't do a very good job of remembering what the Lord said. Now, this precious sister here, these few that came to the tomb on the first day of the week, they came with ointments and spices and all of those things, those preparations to attend to the Lord's body. But you know, all of those things were the things of the flesh, the preparations of men, what they've been taught to do. All they knew was, this is what we got to do, so we're going to go do it. Well, they got there and they found the stone rolled away. And then someone said, he's not here, he's risen. Remember how he spake unto them? They had to be reminded of what he said. And after they reminded him of what he said. Then they remembered what the Lord told them. Oh, after 3 days, I'll rise again. Now I want to go to, I'm not going to take too much time with each one of these. I want to go to Luke chapter 22. All of you can remember what the Lord told Peter. The Lord told Peter when Peter told him, you know how Peter just like I am sometimes, I try to tell the Lord how good I am and how much I love him and how much I'm going to try to do the very best I can, Brother Bill. And I'm going to be the best old Baptist preacher that he ever called, and I'm going to be faithful to the cause of Christ, and I'm going to be all of these wonderful things. I'm going to be just like Peter. I'm never going to deny you, Lord. He said, boy, I'm going to tell you before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me 3 times. I just wonder what kind of a smirk that Peter had made under his breath when the Lord told him that. But you know what? After they, during the nighttime hours, and they built those fires and they challenged Peter. Oh, I don't know him, I told you. Leave me alone. I don't know the man. I'm not a part of them. I'm not no Galilean. I don't know them people. Well, you know, in Isaiah chapter 28, it says, I think you go over there, you'll find this. He said, because you have made an agreement with hell and you've made lies your refuge, because you've done all of those things, I'll tell you one thing. The easiest way there is to have a bunch of people leave you alone is join them. That's what old Peter did. Y'all ain't going to bother me because I'm with you. But you know what? The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He didn't say nothing to him. I don't know about you, but my old daddy could say more without saying anything than anybody I ever knew. When he had turned and looked at me, and those eyes that come over the top of those glasses, that Brother Hewlin reminds me of my daddy in that respect. But when those eyes peer over the top of those glasses, you know that there's serious business about to be taken care of. And if you didn't do what you knew by those eyes were telling you to do, you was going to be in a heap of trouble. And here, the Lord just turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine? I'll bet you there was probably 15 paragraphs that went through Peter's mind that fast. When the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crowed. Oh, when everything else, brethren, falls around us, everything decays, waxes old, and vanishes away. You and I, all of these things that we see here, the word of the Lord is going to still be standing. And his truth will still be truth. And what he told Peter, when he looked at him, he told him again. And he remembered what he told him. And you know what? And he said, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. I'll tell you what, I don't blame him. I think I'd have went out and wept too. I want to go to Psalm 137. I believe it's the first verse. I believe everybody here can probably quote that. This is during the Babylonian captivity. That God's people, the people that the Lord had blessed with the Sinai covenant, all of the things that the Lord had prepared a people for, He had prepared Israel for. And yet with all of their blessings flowing directly from the hand of God, the brother talked about angels' food, how that the Lord fed a manna from heaven. And yet here they are. By the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Yea, we wept. No, they wasn't weeping because they were sitting down there by those rivers far from home. They wasn't weeping because they were in the heretical Babylonian Empire, surrounded by infidels and all of those people that worship false gods. That wasn't why they were weeping. Brethren, the reason that they were weeping was because they remembered Zion. I'll tell you this, when I first left home and I went and joined the army, and I found myself 5,000 miles from home, surrounded by a bunch of people that couldn't even speak English, and all of us GIs could just speak a word or two of German, behind the Iron Curtain, surrounded by Russians. And I'll tell you, one night I sat there on my old military cot, and everybody else was gone down to the club or something. I just sat there on my cot, and you know, I got to thinking about home, and I just started to cry. I think that's what the children of Israel were feeling here. We sat down by the rivers of Babylon in this great empire, all the power and might of the world you can see embodied in that kingdom, and they sat down there by the rivers of Babylon, and they wept because they remembered Zion. They remembered a place where King David sat. They remembered a place where Solomon in all his glory, and how Israel was whenever the queen came there and said, "The half has yet been told me." That how they had, in all their glory, the apple of God's eye, and now here they sit amidst the Babylonians remembering and thinking about Zion. You remember over there when the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, and they took it over there, and all they could get out of it was Nimrod. Everywhere they took it, everybody became afflicted with Nimrod. Well, I'll tell you what, when they came up and broke the top of the hill, and the Israelites looked up there, and they saw that ark up there, brethren, they remembered the service of God. They remembered how precious that thing was to them, and they were so glad to see that thing coming. But you know what? The Philistines were glad to see it go. And I hope, as I've come here tonight, Brother Hewlin, that I've come here with a hope burning in my heart, that I remember the Lord and remember His sacrifice and remember His people. And I'm glad to see these series of meetings coming, because I think that the Lord is coming with them, and He's going to shower His Spirit once again on His people. I want to go to another place in the Psalms, chapter 20. And I'm gonna be hurried because I want to leave Brother Luke plenty of time. We'll start with verse 5. There's more of this there, but I'm gonna start with verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of our God. You know, there are some today, brethren, there are some folks today. I couldn't understand very well a long time ago how there were that poor old folks like my old grandpa working in a turpentine mill trying to scratch out a few dollars, how that they were trusting, they bound to have to trust in the Lord. He was all they had. But there are some that trust in chariots. There are some that trust in the mighty things of man. There are some that trust in horses, the powerful. But it says, but we will remember the name of our God. Now, when you put remembering the name of God up beside these horses with a troika of horses in front of them all, and all of the power that, but just remembering the name of the Lord, that has more power than anything else you can do. Amen. You know old Mary over there and those folks who came to the tomb? If they had remembered what the Lord said, they wouldn't have been there. If Peter had remembered what the Lord said, he had already been outside weeping. But he didn't remember. The greatest thing, brethren, that the old Baptist church has going for it today is that we remember the name of the Lord. We're not willing to accept an imitation Savior or some figment of some man's imagination of what the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be. We remember what our Lord said. He is the one that put the Lord's Supper in the church. He is the one that put baptism in the church. Remember what he said about the communion? He said, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. You know, I think that's exactly what this is pointing to right here. We'll remember the name of the Lord. And brethren, I'll tell you this, if you're going to have that precious service and you're not going to wash feet with it, or you're going to drink grape juice instead of wine, or soda crackers instead of unleavened bread, you're not remembering the Lord.
Amen.
Because our Lord prayed over the bread before he broke it. He prayed over the wine before they consumed it. He poured water into a basin and washed the disciples' feet. If you're not going to do those things, you're not remembering the Lord. So we have no trust. I hope that the old Baptist church has absolutely no trust in the things of men and the works. I'm going to tell you that there's some things that I like. I love progress. I think sitting in a well-lighted room with air conditioning going and fans and all of that, having a motorhome to come up here in, I think that's a whole lot better than riding a buckboard. It's a whole lot better than feeding horses. But that's the progress that we want. That's a desirable progress that we ought to have among all peoples, not just God's people. But I'll tell you what, brethren, when it comes to progressive thinking in the church, we've got a good doctrine. I don't think there's nothing wrong with the doctrine we have. I don't think there's one thing wrong with what my old daddy and my old grandpa handed down to me. It's just as good as it was when they got it. I want to go to Exodus chapter 2. And it can, verse 23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. Now, y'all know what happened about that time when old Pharaoh died. And I'll tell you what, those Egyptians were just like those Philistines over there. They was about ready. They had a belly full of the Lord's people. They was ready to see them go. Why? Because everything that was happening to them, they said there ain't but 8 things that can happen to you, 7 of them bad. And they had all 7 of them that was bad that happened to them. They was ready for them to go. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered His covenant. Now, we're in a different ballpark now. I know you recognize that. God remembered His covenant. You know, the world likes to call them, some of them like to call themselves reverend. Well, you remember that? Said the Lord sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. Brethren, the Lord has never forgotten that one syllable of the agreement that was made with Jesus Christ in the covenant of redemption before the foundation of the world. He's never forgotten a word He said to Abraham. He's never forgotten a word He said to Isaac over there. He's never forgotten one syllable that He said to Jacob, nor His promise to Israel. You can't, there's not a situation. See, we only remember things when something prompts us to remember. One of our senses has to be involved for us to remember something. Now, if I'm wrong about that, you come back and get on to me later, and I'll trust you, I'll be as humble as an old dog. But something has to prompt you to remember. Nothing has to prompt God to remember, because He never has forgotten nothing. God heard their groanings. God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to go back to Psalms for one or two little places, and then I'm going to start to wind down. Psalms 105. That's verses 8 and 9. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generation. You know, the other day, the first time I ever put it on paper, I know some of y'all probably did that a long time ago, but I seem to be a page behind everybody else. I do things, and I talked to some old preacher about it, thinking I'd done something good, and he said, oh, I did that 20 years ago. Well, the other day, I went over there in Genesis, and I made a line graph of the ages of all of the old patriarchs over there in the first part of Genesis. You know what I found out? I found out that the only one of the generation of Adam that was not alive when Adam died was Noah. He's the only one that wasn't alive. All the rest of them were alive. But you know what? The Lord, listen to what He said. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. That's only 10 generations. 2,007 years, I think, from the creation of Adam till the death of Moses. Or to the death of Noah, beg your pardon. That's only 10 generations. And He said, He hath remembered, commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant He made with Abraham and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And brethren, whenever His people Israel, you know, whenever we go over there into Revelations and we see John there, he said, I saw the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding down from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side was there the tree of life, and it bore 12 manner of fruit, and their leaves there were fruit. Brethren, it doesn't make any difference where your lot is in Israel, which side of the stream you're on, or whether you're in the middle of it, whether you're living right now, whether you're yet to live or ever have lived, whatever your station is in Israel, God has remembered His everlasting covenant that He made with Israel. You didn't ask Him to make it with you. He commanded His covenant forever. He made that covenant with Israel. You know, there are those today who say, well, I've got to get right with the Lord. Well, I've got to do this. You know, I told old brother Jack, I tell Jack quite a bit of stuff. I hope he don't tell off on me one of these days. But
I told him, I asked him, I said, Brother Jack, I said, you know, the Lord has never failed in anything. And I don't know of a man, from a spiritual standpoint, that's ever succeeded in anything. I said, how absurd is it that somebody who has never failed can't succeed without the cooperation and assistance of somebody that's never succeeded? I said, that's absurd, isn't it? The Lord commands His covenant forever, brethren. Israel, there's not one of Israel that's ever going to be lost because the Lord failed to remember one of His precious little people. Not one of them. Every one that was embraced in that covenant, brethren, right down to that one little baby that died some before they was born. The Lord remembers every one of them. That's why I asked for that song. I'm the guilty one. In mercy, Lord, remember me. And brethren, if I don't wake up in the morning, it's well with the Lord. I know that I've been remembered tonight. I know that I'll be remembered in the morning. And I know when He comes back with a shout from heaven and these old bodies come up out of the grave that He's not going to forget me then either. I believe that. I want to go over to verse. I'm going to read three or four verses here. He brought them forth from Egypt, he's talking about. He brought them forth with silver and gold. And I want you to know this, they didn't take none in, but he brought them out with him. And there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Can you imagine that? All of those multiplied thousands that were brought up out of the land of Egypt, there wasn't one feeble person among them. Now how is that for providential grace? Not one feeble. We can't say that today, can we? You're talking about the Lord blessing His people. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light, in the night. The people asked, and He brought quails and satisfied them with bread from heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out, and they ran in the dry places like a river. Now, you remember what old Moses said over there in the 103rd Psalm? I believe it is where he said that they provoked him, and it went ill with Moses because he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Here, ye rebels, must we fetch you water from this rock? The Lord says right here, He opened the rock. I'll tell you this. There's a lot more. I'm not going to mess with that right now. For he opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For He remembered His holy promise and Abraham His servant. God made promise unto Abraham, and since he could swear by no greater. I'm in Hebrews chapter 6 now. He swear by Himself, saying, surely, blessing I'll bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. So that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. But every time Israel got down and out, I'm going to tell you there were some times, brethren, that the Lord chastised Israel, but He never forgot. And why did He never forget them? He didn't forget them because they was good. He remembered them because of His covenant. Now I want to go to Isaiah chapter 43, and then I'm going to go one more place. And then I'm going to get out of the way and let Brother Luke come preach for you. Start with verse 24. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money. Neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy strength. I'm going to leave that alone. But you know, you heard what it said. I'm not going to go any further with that. Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. Now wait a minute. He said the Lord don't ever forget.
Well, here he said he wasn't going to remember. That to me just illustrates, that kind of underscored my study of saying how insufficient we are, brethren, as mortal creatures when we go to dabbling in the things of God. We're so insufficient to even walk before Him that here we have one we can't even remember without something telling us to. And here's one that can remember all things and forget only those things that he wants to. And when he forgets them, brethren, he has forgotten them perfectly. They can never be remembered anymore. What's he telling Israel? He said, you haven't, all of the things, look what I have done for you in the everlasting covenant. You're my chosen people. I will not remember your sins for my sake. But I'm going to tell you what, you keep walking in your sinful ways, and for your sake, you're going to reap the benefits of it. And they did. Time after time after time. But the Lord did not remember their sins for His sake. For the sake of His covenant with His anointing. Before the foundation of the world. Now I'm going to go. I could go to Jeremiah 31:31. Or I could go to Hebrews chapter 8. So I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 8. So it says, after those days, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And you know what? It's not going to be like that covenant that I made with their fathers before the flood. Which my covenant they break, even although I was a husband unto them. I'll write my laws in their minds and in their hearts, and I'll be unto them a God. They shall be unto me a people. And they shall teach no more every man his brother, every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. You know over there when he said that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord? Brethren, when the Lord has called you from a death in sin to a life in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and written those laws into your heart, that's the way you're going to remember His great name. Because one of the threefold creations of the inward man, the last one is that the Lord created him with the knowledge of His Creator. I'll guarantee you, when the Lord breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul, Adam looked up and he knew who his Creator was. I'm not going to say Adam had spiritual life, but he knew who his Creator was. Now, they won't teach no more every man his brother, every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. And listen to what he said. He said, and I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. If you can't find, brethren, a place that's more secure than in the hands of a forgiving God that has sworn in covenant relation with His people Israel, which we are sitting here tonight, and has sworn in a covenant relation that He will never remember your sin. And brethren, you know what that tells me? That when all is said and done, you're fit to stand before the Lord. Because if you come up there bringing a sin with you, you're not going to stay very long. But He said, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness. I'll give them an imputed righteousness that enables them to stand faultless before the throne of divine justice. And I'll be able to look upon them, because when I look over here on my precious sheep, all I can see is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When I look over there, I see, because I'm not going to remember a sin because I can't see one. You know, it's hard to remember something you can't see. I hope I've said something that's been a benefit to you. If I have, you give God all the praise and honor for that. If I've said something to put a stumbling block before you, you give me all the credit for that, and you can come beat me up about it later. But God bless you and keep you is my prayer for Christ's sake, and I hope that the Lord blesses this meeting with His Spirit. God bless you.